Well, today in week three of our series on prayer, we're going to be talking about faith and its vital role in prayer. There's a lot of questions about faith when it comes to prayer. Today's message is called Faith Like Mustard. Faith Like Mustard. You'll understand in a little while why I have entitled it as such. Faith, as I've stated before, is the gasoline that fuels the prayer engine. Tony Evans, the famous doctor, says that if prayer is the bridge that takes us from the natural to the supernatural, if prayer is the bridge that takes us from the natural to the supernatural, faith walks us across that bridge to ensure us that we get there. If you want to have a supernatural prayer life, you have to pray with faith to see more prayers answered. If most of us know this and agree, if I had a show of hands, who knows that we need faith in our prayers? Everyone in here would raise their hand. I know that you would. Then why do we not see more of our prayers answered? How much faith does it take to get our prayers answered? That's the $24 question this morning, isn't it? Well, today I want to give us a little refresher course on praying with faith based on God's promises, and also explain a common misunderstanding regarding Jesus' amazing statement in Matthew 17:20. We have it up here. You'll need to turn to it later on. So if you want to go there and flip there now. He says, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's a pretty incredible promise, isn't it? To understand this verse better as it relates to faith, we need to take a little look at the whole story in context. So go over and flip over to Matthew 17, chapter 17. And we're going to begin in verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Let's stop right there. The disciples could not cure this young boy. Why not? Keep your finger there and flip back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, Jesus, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Notice that Jesus gave them authority and power, and it wasn't a gift that he snatched back a little bit later. He gave them this authority and power now. In the Greek, it implies that it was a gift that doesn't return back to Jesus. But he couldn't give them his faith. Their faith would need to grow. So from this moment in chapter 10 going forward, the disciples would have to learn about the kind of faith that God calls us to have in his kingdom. Jesus set forth the expectation, and in the kingdom of God, the blind are healed, the deaf hear, and the dead rise again. But to see these things happen, the disciples would need faith, and nothing has changed today. Faith is essential today as it was back then. And as long as the disciples exercised faith, the impossible happened. When they began to look at things with the natural eye, their faith turned into unbelief. Let me illustrate both faith and unbelief in what I'm talking about. Flip forward now to Matthew chapter 14. It's a little lengthy passage. We're going to be beginning in verse 22. Remember, we're going to look at a picture of what it looks like to have supernatural faith followed by incredible unbelief, but natural. In verse 22, Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus had a prayer life. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat, filled with the disciples, was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." By the way, the old seafaring legends were, when a ghost walked to your ship across the water, that your whole, everybody on the boat was doomed. And so they immediately were reliving this myth. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Who walked on water? Peter walked on water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." I think it's interesting that he didn't sink right away. It was a gradual, it was like a gradual loss of faith as unbelief crept in. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of what? Little faith. Why did you doubt?" When Peter had his eyes fixed on Jesus, anything was possible, including walking on water. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at his circumstances, doubt crept in and his faith began to sink along with his person. The not so subtle message is that our faith is not in our power, but in Jesus Christ, the supplier of our strength and our power. And this is foundational to seeing our prayers answered. The power of our faith runs concurrently with our confidence in Jesus. I'll say that again so you don't miss it this morning. If there's one thing that you could take home from this morning, it's that our faith runs concurrent with our confidence in Jesus. If we do not have the confidence in Jesus, neither will we have confidence in our faith towards what we are praying. Because Christ is our foundation. He is the very cornerstone of anything we build in prayer. And it is impossible to bring forth the miraculous by our own strength. But through Jesus, all things are possible. Several more times, including this incident we just read about, and from now on to chapter 17, the disciples are chastised for not having faith. Not in themselves, but in Jesus and his authority delegated to them. The more challenging things seemed, the more unbelief crept in. Isn't that how it is with us sometimes? We're doing okay looking for parking spots, as we talked about last week. God supplies them. But when the harder things come, the bigger things, "Oh, I don't know if I have enough faith for that. Let me call Pastor. Let me call Larry the McDowells. Let me get it on the prayer chain. It's good to have those people praying for me, but truth be told, I don't think I have enough faith by myself." Not understanding that the faith is not our faith in ourselves or our ability to pray. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. And just sometimes we forget that when we start looking at our circumstances. So now let's look again at chapter 17. Look down at verse 17. So 17:17. Jesus is befuddled. He is befuddled. And he is also a bit righteously angered that the disciples couldn't heal this boy. I think they looked at his scars. I think they looked at his dirty skin. I think they looked at the saliva dripping from his mouth. Perhaps the burn marks on his body from falling into the fire. Perhaps they saw the madness in his eyes from the demon that resided in him. And they said, oh, this is out of our hands. We cannot heal this boy. He's beyond our power. But it is not about their power. It is about the power of Jesus working through their faith. It is about wielding kingdom authority delegated to them, but they didn't have the confidence to use it. So rightfully, they are rebuked by Christ. So here's in verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. By the way, the word perverse there in the Greek, it doesn't mean like perverted, like you perverted generation. It's a Greek word that implies, it implies quickly turning aside, to losing faith quickly. How long shall I be with you? He asked them. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your what? Unbelief, lack of faith. There's the reason why they couldn't heal that boy. I know we want to gloss over that and say, well, that was that situation in the New Testament. But Jesus says plainly, because of your unbelief. In other words, they had more unbelief than they had faith. Unbelief and faith cannot coexist in our hearts and minds. If they do not expect to get many prayers answered. There must be faith, no doubting. Flip over to James chapter 1. Lest you think I'm making this stuff up. James chapter 1 will be in verses 5 through 7. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith. And by the way, this isn't just about wisdom. We see the principle of asking for wisdom, but it quickly says we should ask God because a characteristic of God is that he gives generously to all without finding fault. But he must ask in faith, verse 6, without doubting. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How many times do we ask God for things with half-hearted faith? I'm as guilty as the next person. Behind the prayer is a little bit of doubt. Does God really want me to prosper? To be healthy? Does God want me to be healthy? To be blessed? Does he really love me? Do I deserve an answered prayer? Do I deserve it? Have I been good enough? Can God really fix this? I look at our nation. I'm going to pause here for just a second. We're in trouble. Our nation is in trouble right now. We're a train going over the cliff. And when you have the weight of a train going over a cliff, there's not much that can pull it back except the hand of God. Can God fix it? How much are you praying for God to fix it? It was easy to pray when there was a person in power, maybe a leader. It's easy to pray when he was in power and things were kind of going the way you wanted things to go in the world. And then all of a sudden, everything has changed. And we're on a train heading over a cliff. Have we continued to pray? I know I've been convicted last 24 hours. That I've quit praying for this nation to turn around, thinking, what's my prayer going to do? I'm just a little guy in the cornfields trying to pray for this big train to stop. Do I really believe that God can turn this thing around? How about you? Are you willing to continue praying that God can still turn things around in our nation? That not all is lost. It's not all lost. We serve the one, the only one, who still can put his finger right down into the problem. So do we have enough faith that God can fix our problems? When we doubt, it boils down to a lack of faith in the character and in the willingness and even the power of God. A lack of faith is also displayed in disobedience, which we will talk about in just a little bit. So here's what Jesus says in reply to their lack of faith. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. When I was a little kid, I used to squint my eyes and clench my fist. I'm not kidding. Oh God, move this mountain. And I just, I think he's talking about physical mountains. Let me ask you, there's a promise here. Do you see it? Is this conditional or unconditional? The condition in this promise is to have the faith of a mustard seed. I call this faith like mustard. So what is Jesus saying? On the surface and at face value, it appears that he is indicating we don't need much faith at all to see our prayers answered. Not much faith at all. But this leads to the logical question. You mean to tell me that my prayers aren't being answered because my faith isn't even that big? That's impossible. I at least have some faith. That's how I became a Christian. We're not talking about saving faith. We're talking about the faith to move mountains. Probably symbolic of life's big and problematic events. So what does it mean to have faith like mustard or a mustard seed? Do we have that picture up there? Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Look at that little dude. About the tip of a pencil. The average size of a mustard seed is about 1 to 2 millimeters, a 0.05 of an inch. The average size of the plant is about 3 to 6 feet high, though under certain conditions, when it's nourished, it can sometimes grow to be about 10 to 15 feet tall or more, and just as wide. From that little seed grows this huge, tall, and technically it's not a tree, it's still a plant, but it looks as big as a tree. There are two lessons to be learned from the mustard seed illustration. You want to know what they are? I'm glad you asked. One is that faith can grow. Faith can grow. You know, when a new baby is born, just out of the womb, here's your hammer. Here's your nails. Go build something. Here's your tennis shoes. Go walk. Go take yourself for a walk. We'll see you in about an hour. They have to grow, don't they? Our faith has to grow as well. And when it's nourished, it grows. And the second thing is, which is related to growing, is what's inside it. What is inside is what Jesus is getting at. The life is inside the seed. Jesus was comparing a living faith versus a lifeless faith. A living faith grows, and it's what's inside the mustard seed that Jesus wants us to see. Tony Evans, again commenting on this passage, says, what made the disciples' faith little was the lack of life inside of their faith. What makes faith small is the absence of spiritual life inside of it. Our problem, for those of us who don't regularly access the authority of the kingdom through faith and prayer, is a lack of life in our faith. We're building a bridge from the natural to the supernatural, but there is no faith to get us over the bridge. What he is getting at, and I agree, is that if we want to see mountains move, our faith is going to have to grow. And that faith needs life. The disciples' faith and kingdom authority had not developed to the point that they could get the demon to come out of that boy. There was no life in their faith. They doubted that they had the authority, and since Jesus wasn't standing right there with them, they doubted their ability to tap into the power source of life, the life that could deliver the child and move the mountain. Notice in verse 20 that Jesus says, "You will say, and it will obey." There's no "it might." It could. It can. "You say, will say, and it will obey." Not "might." They and we have a promise with a condition that faith is necessary to see that promise come into reality. How do we get to the place in our prayer life where we can pray with such confidence that mountains will move? That's where I want to be. I want to see mountains move. How do we get our faith to grow, and how do we infuse life into our faith? Through building a prayer life with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the answer to that question. So how do we do this? How do we begin to move mountains with prayer? We need more life-infused faith. The question then becomes, how do we get it? How do we get this faith? The good news is that God, by His grace, has told us how. Flip over to Romans chapter 10. And I'm going somewhere with this here, as we're going to wrap up here in just a few moments. Verse 17. The great apostle writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we increase our faith. Reading, memorizing, and meditating on God's word will increase our ability to hear His voice. When we have God's word implanted in us, He will speak often to us. With the very words of Scripture, we will know by faith that it is His voice. Our faith begins to increase as God's Word begins to grow in us. The Word of God is living and powerful. Getting His Word inside us, it begins to grow and grow and increases our faith. But there is another way as well. Faith grows when we pray. Prayer begets faith. When we pray, there's an active two-way communication taking place between God and us. And often we are not even aware of it. As there should be in all healthy relationships. You talk to your spouse, do you not? You have a relationship with them. Sometimes you're talking, sometimes you're listening. When we're praying, we're engaging in a healthy relationship, but there is more going on under the surface than we are even aware of. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see, when we're praying, our faith is increasing. Every time we bend our knee, every time we enter into relationship, a moment of relationship with the Lord where we are talking to the God and He's talking to us, our faith is increasing. Our relationship with Him is deepening. And here's what again the Holy Spirit says through the hand of the apostle in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. Here's what's going on when we're in prayer. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except his own spirit within him? So too no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is not subject to anyone's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, as we enter into a time of prayer with the Lord, we're using words, but our spirit is also praying. Our spirit is communing with God. Our spirit is going to God and saying, God, what is your will? His spirit communes back with our spirit and he begins speaking to us. And as we begin to hear the word of God, according to scripture, our faith begins to increase. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When God speaks to us, when we're in that time of prayer, when he's speaking, our faith is growing and we're not even aware of it. But it's growing nevertheless. That faith of a mustard seed begins to sprout. And as we pray longer and deeper, God's Spirit gets in us and communes with our spirit. Our sanctification and righteousness increases. The Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Do you believe that? Good things begin to happen to our prayers. Life and faith begin to grow together in our prayers. That faith that's infused with the life of Jesus Christ. And we begin to see more prayers answered. We begin to see mountains move. And when we see mountains move, our faith increases. And we see even more good things happen, which increases our faith even more. That's why so many people who have a deep and qualitative prayer life often see their prayers answered. Their faith has been increased through time spent with God. Not 1 minute here, not 2 minutes here as I'm about to go to sleep. A qualitative prayer life, engaging the Creator of the universe, where we begin to hear Him and our faith increases. I've seen this in my own life. Most of my life I was not a prayer warrior. I didn't even understand the value of prayer other than I'm supposed to do it before I eat my meals and before I go to bed at night. Things would come up to my life and I just didn't have the faith. But as I began to grow older in my faith and mature, my prayer life has become more and more extended. And as it has become extended, I've seen God move in miraculous ways. I'm convinced if I was to spend 24 hours here in fasting and praying, this building would shake. The fact is, I'm often not willing to do that. It takes some sacrifice, but there are people that do. These are the saints of God or prayer warriors. They're mountain movers, planet shakers. But it's not just them. Anybody sitting in this room can be a planet shaker. Anybody in this room can have their faith increased. Jesus tells that it is so. Our faith increases. And when this happens, we'll begin, as our faith grows, we will begin clinging onto promises like that found in John 14. John 14:14. We're going to close with this. Here's an incredible promise from Jesus himself. Most of us in here have read this verse. It kind of just sits back there on the couch of our spiritual minds. Hey, I'm here. What about this verse? How many of us have the faith to believe that what Jesus says here, he actually means? Let's read it together. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father, my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, what do you think whatever means? Whatever. You ask in my name, that I will do. That very thing that you're asking for, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many of you have the faith to believe that Jesus means what he says here? It takes a little bit of faith, doesn't it? to step out in this, to claim this promise. But as we enter into prolonged times of prayer and qualitative prayer with God, our faith begins to increase. And we come to a word like this in John 14. And we say, I believe this. And it's not just in words. We believe it somewhere down in the core of our heart. There has been a mustard seed of faith that has sprouted. And it's 3 to 6 feet tall. And we look at verses like this. Whatever I ask, God says He's going to do. And I believe with all my heart that He's going to do this. That's what He's talking about here. When you commune with God in prayer, are you believing what this verse promises with all your heart? I want to encourage you to begin praying with intention and for more extended periods of time. We're going to talk next week about how to have a prayer life. Yes, it's going to take some sacrifice. But if you want to see a mountain move, it's going to take some faith. And where faith grows is on our knees before a living God. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. God, truth be told, there's probably not a lot of believers, whether in this room or elsewhere, that positively believes that whatever we ask in Your name, we will receive. But God, You would not give us this challenge if You didn't know that we could get to that place in our faith where we could begin praying like this. That is a people that You have called for this generation. Father, I pray that You raise up a mighty army of prayer warriors who are willing to spend their time on their knees in prayer with You to be a planet shaker, a nation healer, a righteousness restorer. God, I know in my heart that everyone sitting in this room and listening on the internet today, that You have the faith of a mustard seed in You. The Holy Spirit put that seed in you. And God is calling it to grow today. God needs an army of people that are willing to pray and intercede for this nation and for each other, that are to be the light in the darkness and to stand strong through a life built on prayer, that they may be unshaken no matter the forces that come against us. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You begin strengthening our resolve. We pray for grace. We need Your grace. We need Your grace. We need Your grace, Lord. Holy Spirit, begin to move us. Begin to do a mighty work in this church of prayer, that our city may be changed, that our children may be saved before it's too late. We thank You, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over our prayers. We plead the blood of Jesus over this church and over the lives and everyone who is hearing these words. May they be strengthened in the name of Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.